The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, if you understand Vulcan, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify his name. First, astronomy can be extraordinary. Now, I said astronomy, not astrology, astronomy. Telescopes should help us see some of God's handiwork, and it does. But there are specific properties that stars share in common. A regular star does not move over a house and then stop. But miracles always direct us to Jesus. Isn't that good? That's good. Next, most people think that three wise men sought out the young Jesus. By the way, he was around 2 years old when they saw him. But the key is not how many, but that wise men sought Jesus and brought him some incredible gifts. If you want to be a wise man, you seek Jesus. And finally, a wise person. That's fine. And finally, we do not like to think that there could be an actual cost to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches that it could cost us our lives. Is he worth it? We need to decide now as it gets worse for believers. In this faith walk, there are real dangers.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavily talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. We did that a little bit in the last segment. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oive, so much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. 0770. When you do that, Terrific T will answer the phone. And when she answers the phone, it's just, ready? Graceful. Graceful. There you go. Do you like that? Graceful. Full of grace.
I'm here for it.
Okay. There you go. In lieu of that, if you have a praise report, a prayer request, an answer to trivia, if you got something going on, the Lord's teaching you, a question you might want to ask, you are welcome to ask. You probably don't want to bring up the last segment again because I already blew my top on that one, cut my head off, and that's rolling around on the floor right now. So we'll probably go into a little bit of a nicer zone. I can't stand it when people prefer the gospel. It just drives me bad. All right, here you go. Here's a good trivia question. Good one. Right? One of Joseph's brothers said, let's not kill him, right? Because they were all going to kill Joseph, right? Which brother said, let's not kill him, right? This was the brother trying to spare his younger brother's life. Which one did that? If you think you know the answer, reach out to us at 972-445-0770, or you can text in at 214-210-8483. In the meantime, we've got to do our DNA because we didn't get to do that in the last 30 minutes. So let's remember what our DNA is. It's our building blocks for who we are and what we are as Christians. The D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily. Struggling, trying to press the button.
Push the button. Draw closer to the Lord daily. Now, a lot of you probably had a really good, I assume, or I hope so, a good Easter service and so on and so forth. You don't want to let that kind of just, dissipate. You want to stand in that, spend time with the Lord in prayer, in His Word, in communion. You want to do it that way. Stay closely connected. It's a big deal. That's the D part of draw closer in the DNA. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or His words, no matter what person in what position anywhere on the planet. No matter what person in whatever position anywhere on the planet says, who cares? What you need to be aware of is not to be ashamed of Jesus or His words. And then the A stands for always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. Because if you're always ready to serve, then you're sensitive to the Lord and loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then you are sensitive to your neighbor, loving your neighbor as you love yourself, thus fulfilling the summary of the law. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D, and never be ashamed of Jesus or His words. And A, always be ready to serve. Okay. Now, we did have somebody try to call in on this. We have somebody we're going to get to, but they tried to call in on the text number. So you got to remember, whenever I give you the text number, you can't call me on the text number because I can't answer that. All right, are we ready? Somebody do that? Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Yeah, this is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you, my good friend?
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, so now this is a big deal because Joseph's brothers wanted to 86 him. They wanted to take him out. Which brother said, nah, let's not kill him?
Well, Reuben comes to my mind. I don't know if that's right.
That is correct, sir. That is right, is Reuben. Two things to never forget. He was the eldest brother, and number two, if you can't remember which brother tried to spare Joseph, think of the sandwich. The Reuben sandwich.
Yeah, the Reuben. There you go. There you go. I never had a Reuben sandwich, actually.
Oh, you have to, brother. You got to go to a good Jewish deli or one that pretends to be a good Jewish deli and then just get it. Don't get it from like a fast food. Get a real Reuben sandwich and then you'll understand.
Does that have pork in it?
What?
Do you know? If it's at a Jewish place, you wouldn't have pork in it, would it?
Right, exactly. That's right. Yeah. You got to go there and you got to say, I want a good Reuben sandwich. And if you do it with that accent, they'll put more stuff on it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, like a Yiddish kind of accent. Yeah, that's cool.
All right.
They have a Jewish outlet there in Dallas off of Preston, but they got hit by that tornado, so I don't know if it's still there or not, but I get my masa and stuff like that from there for Passover and stuff. So anyway, it's a good story. If anybody's been Jewish,
they're
off of Preston.
For us Jewish people in Detroit, a good deli is like McDonald's is to the world. Just so you can know.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
I can imagine. Yeah. Well, we appreciate your thoughts and your memory banks are filling up. So you still got stuff coming out. So that's good.
Yep.
So don't ever stop letting loose your love and all the knowledge that you have.
Yeah. I appreciate you, brother. Love you in the Lord, my friend.
I love you too, sir.
All right. Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We got a cool audience. Let's just say it. Okay? Let's just leave it there. Say, we got a cool audience. Our audience is cool. Leave it there. Let's get to this next thing. Okay, so now I want to do this teaching. They got like, what, nine minutes. That'll be the day. I got 3 minutes before I do our exit. I want to talk about this thing in Matthew. So I'm going to be teaching out of a bunch of books. I'm just having too much fun because I'm doing a lot of study and just having a great time. In Matthew chapter 2, and I can't remember which verse. I think it's verse 9. It says this. After the interview, the wise men went their way. Once again, the star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. So the reason this is important, okay, the reason that that matters is because what a lot of people have done in tradition and religiosity and spirituality and all these really cool fancy religious terms like churchianity, all of that stuff, and they're like, it was actually like a star, and then the star, they were following a big star in the sky, and that's how they found Jesus. Wrong answer. All they're trying to do is reduce the miracles that are in the Bible, Okay, that's the same people that say that Israel passed through the Red Sea on low tide. Okay, it's the same kind of people. First of all, Israel didn't pass through the Red Sea on low tide. It was no tide. There was no water there because then the same people went after them were the Egyptians, who then apparently all drowned in low tide. Doesn't work that way. So that's not how it worked, just so you can make sure you understand. And then number two, stars don't stop over houses and go, this way, dummy, this way. That's not how stars do it. Stars don't point arrows and go, over here, he's over here. Look here. So it was miraculous. It was like a star. People are thinking it was an actual star. I think that would have fried up the entire planet if it was an actual star. It might have been a star the size of a basketball, still would have fried up the planet. Doesn't work that way. What they thought was a star was something like a star, but here's the big key about it. It stopped over the place where the child was. It stopped over a house. When was the last time you saw a star stop over a house? Not often, right? The point is, it was a miracle that what they were seeing, it was not a normal star, it was a miraculous sign that they were seeing. And what did that miraculous sign point to? Jesus. How nice is that? Because the miracles of God point to Jesus. Isn't that cool? They direct you to it. And so they followed right to the house, got to the house. Ba-bang! Jesus is here! All right. And we're going to go through a little bit of this story because I want to make sure that we know it right from the Word. But miracles point us to Jesus. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. All of mankind destroying
everyone. You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Get up! In the expression of faith and the results of that expression of faith and just responding to ignoring what they had to say, not being afraid, having just a little bit of faith, the results were astonishment that God's workings were so clearly manifest. But I will say this, and I don't have any problem saying this. Sometimes you got to just change the atmosphere. And you go, oh, that's not biblical. Jesus kicked them out because they were all naysayers. That's not a promotion of positive thinking and positive saying. It is a promotion of you're either going to have faith or if you're going to have fear, go over in the other room. Get out. Because we need people to have faith. So he clears the air. He makes this bold proclamation. She gets up and watch this. This is something that I'm telling you. I'm getting this as I'm telling it to you. How Jesus not just raised her from the dead, but then he's ministering to her afterwards. It's not over. The miracle's done. Jesus has gone off on the white horse and is never coming back. He's having her taken care of after she's raised from the dead. He keeps going because Jesus cares about how we're doing. It's not a one and done. That's the old evangelist thing. You blow into town, you blow in, you blow up, you blow out. That's not how Jesus did it. He stuck around. He helped. And the parents and the disciples, can you imagine the amazement? I think the disciples had a little bit more prep, right? Hanging out with Jesus a little, right? But could you imagine Jairus and his wife going, okay, what just happened? Your life changed. That's what just happened. It'll never be the same. You'll never be able to deny that Jesus Christ completely rearranged your entire universe. There's some of you out there, you need him to do that. You need to change your atmosphere. You need to ignore what other people are saying. You need to stand firm in your faith. You need to stop being afraid, stop being immobilized, and you need to clear the air and trust and believe God for an incredible miracle that will change life.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's load up our next trivia question. Sticking with Joseph for just a little bit. When Joseph's brothers first came to Egypt, Joseph put them in jail. How long did he put him in jail for? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 days? This is when he was the big ruler there in Egypt, and they didn't know it was him. And so this was his minor revenge moment, kind of, I suppose. You know, and people would say, oh, he shouldn't have done that. Okay, well, yes, he should have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 days. How many days did Joseph put his brothers into jail in Egypt? That's number one. Number two, some people are upset because I was... Would you say fiery? Like brimstone? I don't know about brimstone, because that I do that really well. But fiery about that segment about the guy being a false prophet or a false teacher. Would you say fire? What would you say? How would you describe
it? Yeah, I'm trying to think of another word for it, but I think I like fiery.
Fiery's not bad. Annoying. That would certainly be...
Heated.
Okay. Heated. Ooh, good job there. And then other people are like, oh, you don't do enough of it. And then other people are like, you're too funny. And other people are like, it's too serious. And other people are like, it's too this or it's too this. All it is me, your big brother. And just like a big brother in the Lord, you just got to love me and put up with me because I'm in your family. There it goes. Ha 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 ha. Somebody ready to answer the question? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you? Hope you had a nice weekend.
I'm great. How was your weekend?
It was good. We had an outdoor service, so that was a little cold in the morning because I went early. And actually, the two dogs got along pretty good, and that was kind of a blessing because it gave me more time to just chill out, which I really appreciate. How was yours? Did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah, I had a good one.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. All right, here's a classic. Joseph's brothers, they first came to Egypt. He put them in jail. Was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 days?
It was 3 days.
That is correct. You are right.
Yay.
That's a good job. He put him in jail for 3 days. Could have been a lot longer, but I think he was like, all right, that's enough. good job, Deborah.
All right, well, y'all have a good day.
All right, thank you so much. Excellent work.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. All right. So just to lighten the mood for people that think I was, what did you say? You said fight. What did you say?
Heated.
Heated. I like it. Heated. That cool guy was heated. What will I do? We're going to do one show where I do it in the jazz voice. It's so funny. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Get ready for it. It's not happening today, though. Just warning you. All right, I got a joke. Ready? Okay, now this is a kind of a good one for us people here in Texas, I would say. Okay, all right. It seems a man in Topeka, Kansas, decided to write a book about churches around the country. So he started by flying to San Francisco and working east from there. He goes to a very large church and begins taking pictures. He spots a golden telephone on the wall and is intrigued with a sign which reads $10,000 a minute. Seeking out the pastor, he asks about the phone and the sign. The pastor answers, "This is a golden phone. In fact, it's a direct line to heaven. If you pay the price, you can talk directly to God. $10,000 a minute." He thanks the pastor and goes on his way. He continues and visits church in Seattle, Denver, Boise, Milwaukee, Chicago, New York, all around the United States. He finds more phones with the same sign. and the same answer from each pastor. Finally, he arrives in Dallas, and upon entering a church, lo and behold, he sees an unusual golden telephone. But this time, the sign reads, 25 cents a call. Fascinated, he asks to talk to the pastor. Reverend, I've been in cities all across the country, and in every, each church, I found this same golden telephone, and it was a direct line to heaven, and the people could talk to God. But in all the other churches, it cost $10,000 a minute. Your sign reads 25 cents a call. Why? The pastor smilingly says, son, you're in Texas now. It's a local call. It's a local call.
Come on, that's good. All
right. That was good. That was good.
That's good. I mean, somebody's inevitably going to email me. It doesn't cost anything. Somebody's going to say something about that. Here's my response. It costs the blood of Jesus. Okay, here we go. All right. But that was a good one. You're in Texas. It's a local call. All right, let me finish up on this part. You guys will really appreciate this, I think. But we're going to go from it from this point. We're finishing from in Matthew where the star stopped over the house where the child was. It says this, they entered the house. Now, notice that they entered the house. Now, it's very important to understand in Matthew 2:11, they entered a house. They didn't enter the manger. Why? Because they're not at the manger anymore. This is 2 years later. So every time they show the wise men, they sell those things with the wise men and the manger and the angels and so on and so forth. Not right. But it's okay because it's just something they're selling and it's not something you're worshiping. You just bought it because it looks nice in your house. All right. They entered the house where the child and his mother were. Hey, where was Joseph? He might have been working. Maybe he went out to get bagels. I don't know. He wasn't there. So he enters the house where his mother Mary were there, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The reason that people think there were three wise men is because they gave them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some commentators believe that this gold, frankincense, and myrrh were all valuable and that they could have exchanged that for money, though it doesn't say that, but they could have, and that could have financed their lives and all the stuff that's going to happen. Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's fine. I mean, it's not nothing to die for, but it's not that big a deal. Here's the bottom line. The gifts have meaning to many people. The gold is a symbol for kingship on the earth. The frankincense is often thought of as a symbol for either prayer or a godly deity offering. And the myrrh is embalming oil for death or for suffering in some capacity. Okay? They probably have deeper meanings. They probably mean things that are even beyond what you and I understand. Oftentimes that's the case when we're dealing with the things of Scripture. But what we know is they gave them frankincense, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the three gifts. And could be dealing with Jesus as the king of the earth, as deity, and also as a preparation for suffering, embalming, and the death he's going to face. Sure. But, I mean, that's cool. That doesn't sound like it's a bad thing. Here's what we know for sure. They worshipped. And they opened up their treasure chest, and they gave what they had to Jesus. That is what you know for sure. And what we do is we oftentimes will go to church, and we open up our wallet. There's a 10 or a 20, and the 10 usually can make it in the plate, so, you know, if there's a plate being passed. Here's the bottom line. Whatever your treasure chest is, whatever you have, whatever is of great value to you, you got to give it to Jesus. If you value your life, you have to give it to Jesus. If you value your family, you have to give it to Jesus. If you value certain elements that are important to you that aren't sinful but that are normal, give it to the Lord. Okay, he is a much better handler of the things that you think are important than you are or than I am. One of the most wonderful things when you talk to Christian businessmen, so they have this thing called the Christian Businessmen Fellowship or a Christmas Businessmen's Association, come of these different organizations, and all of them who are genuinely born-again, Bible-believing Christians say the same thing: God is their business partner, and he's not a silent partner. And for some of you out there, you're looking for a partner to go through in life, and we have friends, and we have relatives, and we have family, and so on and so forth. There is no better, no closer friend, no better relative, no better family member than the partnership of Jesus Christ. And you open up your chest, and you give what you have the best you can before the Lord. And if it's something really valuable like gold, you still give it to him. And if it's something that has really deep symbolic meaning, maybe like the myrrh, you give it to him. You just give him your heart. Because out of all the things you have in your life is at the center of important things. And you give Jesus your heart. And what he does is he gives you eternal life. Now, ironically, he'll give you eternal life before you give him all of your heart. But if you just start with a little bit of your heart, more and more will be offered up to him as you grow and become more and more mature. But the big key in all of this is to say yes to Jesus. Open up your treasure chest, give it to the Lord. If you think it's all about paying rent, or making money, or having toys, or things of that nature, you're wrong, because you're still going to die and face God. And if you've opened up your heart, opened up your treasure chest, and given it to Jesus, that death will be a wonderful stepping stone to even greater things. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Then they complained to Moses, against Moses and Aaron, and they said, it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking, it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? Like, I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to remind everybody before we get into the trivia. So if you went to church or you participate in some kind of fellowship or something over Easter, there were people that you saw either made a decision for the first time to follow Jesus Christ or made a recommitment, or people that just needed kind of a boost in their faith. If you witnessed any of that, saw any of that in any of the churches or any of the fellowships, or you heard about that on radio, saw it on TV or on the internet, any kind of thing like that, it is your obligation, my obligation, to pray for those people. Now, you don't have to pray every single day for 15 hours about those people, so don't think that way. But it wouldn't hurt to take a minute out of our lives, which we're going to do right now, and pray that God will really get a hold of them. So let's just pray for those people, because that's important, because for some of us, those are new brothers and new sisters in the Lord. And it's like, that's kind of cool, isn't it? All right, let's pray. Father, we just lift up the people yesterday who heard the gospel for the first time, made a conscious decision to follow you, to accept the testimony you gave regarding Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for us, then that he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And we ask for our brothers and sisters to be strengthened and protected and encouraged in you. Ironically, they seem to be coming into the faith at a tougher time than many of us came into the faith that we've encountered, and we're asking that you just give them a sense of confidence and bravery and strength and courage, and feed them your truth now that they are at that point of saying yes to you. Let them now grow into you. Your commission tells us to baptize in your name, and then it says teaching them, and so that next phase is where they're going into, and we pray that they would be receptive and grow and cultivate a wonderful relationship with you. We welcome them, of course, into our family, and we ask you to bless them and protect them as our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay. All right? It's all right. See, that's the old deal. It's all right? It's all right. All right. There we go. So what? Everybody has to put up with that. Okay, what type of wood did Noah use when he built the ark? I've asked this question before. I think it's a great question. I do think it's pertinent to the scenario of that situation. What type of wood did Noah use to build the ark? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. What type of wood? Don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie, artichoke. All right, so I have the history, okay? Now we have the question. What type of wood? I want to make sure I said it right. What type of wood did Noah use when he built the ark? Okay. Just that straightforward. If you know, call us. Don't call this number. You can call this number, 972-445-0770, or text us, 214-210-8483. In the meantime, let's do history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right. This is kind of a classic because this is for this particular day. I'm going to say something. I don't know if you've seen it or not before. So we're getting closer to a year. Like, I think that we've been doing our stuff because how long have you been? A little, about a year? in that ballpark? We're really close?
What, for...
You and me.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, we're like somewhere...
No, actually, no. I think it's
like
we're
in
past
April.
A year.
Oh, we're past a year now?
Okay, yeah, I think this happened...
You might have heard this then before. Okay, this one particular one. Today is Bell Bottoms Day.
Yep, I've heard of that one.
Yeah. Did you ever wear a pair of bell bottoms? Did you ever wear a pair?
No, I didn't, but my mom did. And I was always trying to figure out why it looked like two circles at the bottom of her feet.
I also had a pair of bell bottoms. I just want to say, now you look at that and you think, what was wrong with us? There's just
that was the style.
Yeah, but it was a whole like decade of what? Terrible. Today, by the way, is Deep Dish Pizza Day. Can't go wrong with deep dish pizza. You can't go wrong with any kind of pizza. Kind of like tea, like spaghetti. I like pizza. It's like there's just nothing. You can't do anything wrong there. I mean, I don't even hear people say, well, people put on weird toppings. I don't care. It's just like it doesn't matter. It's also National Dandelion Day. Did you ever like pick up a dandelion and you flip the top? Like with little dandelions, did you ever do that?
No,
the little yellow things. At the...
Those, what those are? Yes, actually did. I flipped.
Okay,
I was trying.
Yeah, okay, you got to think about which one that is.
And yeah, then... you know, I'm not a big flower person. I can't pick which flower's which.
Isn't it amazing? Because Noelle is like she can tell you. You know, she'd look at it and she'd go, it's da ba 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 ba, comes from da da ba da ba ba, and I'm like, I don't know. It costs $39.99. They said you'd like it. Today, finally, also is National Flash Drive Day. That's newer because we didn't really have flash drives for quite some time. Last two things to tell you, which some of you might think is completely useless, but maybe not. In 1792, the first presidential veto took place. 1792, George Washington vetoes an apportionment bill, from the members of House. That's the first time the president ever said no. No, not going to happen. And then finally for me, not for you guys, but for me a little bit, 1978, The Amazing Spider-Man appeared on television, 1978 on this day, before they, of course, ruined that franchise as well. Back in the day, it was a lot of fun. When it was fun, it was fun. Okay? No, it's not as fun. Okay, what kind of wood is the question? Did Noah use to build the ark? 972-445-0770 or 214-210-8483. Small section here, but a very, very powerful section for me personally. This is verse 12. After they had given the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, and I didn't go into too much detail, but I wanted you to get the feel for it. When it came time to leave, they went home another way because God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Now, I just maintain this. I'll strongly maintain this. When I was a young Christian, the Lord spoke to me in dreams often, not often as in every night, but more often than normal because I didn't have a pastor, didn't have an understanding. I was still growing in things. And in the Matthew 1, 2, and 3, you get the sense that God used dreams to communicate quite a bit with his people. One of the things that the Lord taught me, and I've mentioned this before, and I want you to hear it because it's not the same authority as the Word of God, but it is something that stuck with me my whole life, 42 years, as a Christian, that is, 42 plus years. And that is one time I got before the Lord and I was praying and I said, I don't know what I lack. I know I lack something. I just don't know what it is. I mean, I'm missing something and I can't quite, you know, nail down what that is. So, Lord, can you please show me? That night I had a dream that I was sitting at a restaurant, kind of like a Hobo Joe's or that kind of restaurant or kind of a Denny's style. And I was sitting there with Bruce, Billy, Larry, and myself. The four of us had all become Christian believers within 30 days of one another. We were all four Jewish boys who knew each other in Detroit, came out to Phoenix, Arizona, and then we all got saved. Okay, so we were like kind of these on fire Christians. And in that dream, we're all sitting there and we're opening up our menus. Okay, so for some people that know Hobo Joe's or Coco's or Denny's and so on and so forth. And in my menu, it opened up and it said on the left side with a little tab at the top, it said today's special. That's how they used to do the menus. They'd have a today's special. And then I lift it up and it says, here's what you need, Dave, because here's what you are lacking. This is what you need to have. That's what it said in my menu. And I moved the thing aside so I could see it more clearly, and it said more faith.
And you think, well, that's just weird. Yep. Sure is. Guess what I have been using for 40 plus years because the Lord shared with me I needed more faith. I've been working on for 40 plus years, more faith. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those that seek him. And I was lacking having faith. Remember, Jesus said, if you have faith, you know, the size of a mustard seed, it's not even the size of the faith, it's really the quality, not the quantity. So the mustard seed's a small seed, but it is a pure seed. And so the Lord was teaching me, you got to have more faith, kid. And you think, well, I mean, is that scriptural? What, that God speaks to us in dreams? Is that scriptural? Yes, that's highly scriptural. In fact, if you read Job, it says when men sleep, he instructs them. And it's like, yeah. And you think, well, I mean, is that on the same par as the Word of God? No. Does that have an impact on your life? Yes. And sometimes the Lord will speak to you that way. Now, if you fill your mind with a bunch of garbage, probably will have a dream about a bunch of garbagey stuff. And yes, everybody I know has had Taco Bell dreams. Come on. Too much hot sauce and you dream about a taco chasing you across the plains of the waters. I get it. But God also speaks in dreams. And we should be aware of that. And he used dreams, especially. They didn't have the word the way that we have the word, especially in those times when the word is absent, he speaks in dreams. What do you think is happening in some of these countries right now where there's revival breaking out and more people are getting saved than ever before? You think God's just saying, well, until you get a Bible, you're all on your own. Bye! That's not how that happens, okay? All right. So dreams are important. All right, trivia question is what type of wood... What type of wood did Noah use to build the ark? The answer is gopher wood. Gopher wood. And not gopher this and gopher that. Gopher wood was the kind of wood. And that'd be in Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. All right, take our break, and then we're coming back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Anyway, that's not even the story. Let me tell you the story, because it's so big, I cut the first third yesterday. And that's the front of the house. And the back two-thirds I'll do today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever that is. But it looks really good, all right? So that's cool. Anyhow, so I'm cleaning it all up, and I've got the little electric weed eater and the little blower. They're working. It works great. Everything's working great. And I have a stick. Now, this stick was there when we moved into the house, and it was a stick that went with a broken rake. And I don't know why my wife and I have kept it in the garage for like 17 months, but I thought, this is ridiculous. I got to get rid of this stick. So I looked at the stick, and I thought, I could high karate this because it wouldn't fit in the trash can. Right? A little too long. You put it in the trash can, even on an angle, the trash can's sitting up about 4 inches, and you know it was windy yesterday. So if I did that, you'd catch the wind, and you know. So I thought, nah, I can high karate this. I'm strong enough. And then I thought, this is the kind of thing where pride really gets in the way. I got to be careful. So I did what any other guy would do. I took my two trash cans. I put the stick in between the two trash cans. I took a saw and I cut the saw half. I used the saw and cut the stick halfway through. So now I'm going to high karate this bad boy and feel good about it. Yeah, no pride here, right? How long do I got? Like a minute? 2 minutes? Perfect. 2 minutes. Watch this. So I cut it perfectly in half. I get my arm, my forearm, my elbow, and I go, hi-ya! And I high karate that bad boy. One part of the two-part sticks, okay, which is like kind of like a broom handle, hits the top of the trash can where it was sitting, kind of bounced on it, came up, and hit me right in the forehead. Bam! Yes. I was really feeling pride right up until it hit me in the head. And then I realized, one, I couldn't have done it without the saw. And two, even with the saw, apparently I couldn't have done it. Because the stick hit me back. I don't think that was very nice of it. And I will say it did end up in the trash and it went bye-bye. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We got one more trivia question, and I got a very intense DDD. Very, 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 very thought-provoking DDD. The trivia question, how many loaves of bread did Jesus use in feeding the 4,000? How many loaves of bread did Jesus use in feeding the 4,000? Okay? It's not the 5,000. That's the 4. All right. We did the website. Is there anything else? Let's do the website again because I do need people to really do their best. So don't forget hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook. He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, trivia question on the board. How many loaves of bread did Jesus use in feeding the 4,000? The only thing I'll tell you is the answer is in Matthew. That's all I can give you right there. Website, we covered this, we covered this. Let me talk to you about this one thing. So in my studies, when I'm doing my studies, sometimes they will do statistical reviews on Christians, some of their behaviors and some of the things they do. And you got to be careful because not every poll taker, not every group gives you, really the best information, but they give you some information. And one of the things that came out is how often Christians spend time. Okay, reading their Bible. There was a subsequent poll that got much more narrow in that scope and asked how many born-again Christians, right? A whole bunch of people that consider themselves Christians because they've walked through a church, right? You're not a Christian because you go to church any more than you're an automobile because you walk through a garage. Okay, so let's at least get that straight. But how many people read their Bible on a regular basis out of a group of people that are born again? What percentage, watch this, less than 18% of born-again Christians read their Bible on a regular basis? So I want to take that time because I think it's important for us to understand that if God took his commitment to us to this place where he's provided with us this fantastic love letter, dear human race, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, love God, that we would want to read it. I've talked about this before, how if a Martian came to the United States and landed in Washington, D.C. and pulled out a book and said, here's the secrets and the mysteries of the universe and for all humanity, not a single person would do anything but read that book. Oh, read that book because the Martian told us to. And yet here you have one, the greatest in all of existence, giving us a book in a partnership, writing that book with us in a partnership. And you got some people freaking out saying, well, it's not perfect here. It's not perfect here. Do you think that the creator of the universe can preserve what he wants to say to get it said to humanity? Or do you think humanity is just too tough? Like, come on. So God writes a book, right? He creates the universe. Dude can write a book. And we, as born-again, Bible-believing Christians, don't spend enough time in the book, don't really know the book, and some people don't get a lot of touch to the book. Now, Jesus did say, blessed are those who hear the words that I speak and do them. So if you're not a Bible reader, but you're a Bible listener, that's fine. That part's not the problem. The problem is that we're not taking it in, and we're not doing it. So when Paul said this in Philippians, and we remember we just finished the book of Philippians in some of our expository. When Paul said this, what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God and by faith. We have not put a value often enough on knowing Christ. It's easy to say that we're Christians, but it's also easy to say that without spending time hearing what God has to say. And when I'm reading this material, I'm like, I don't feel guilty for myself personally, but I sense a lacking in my own teaching of telling people how important it is to take that time to embrace what God has to say. And the author made some really just excellent points. He said, it's fine if you're going to read your Bible and then go to bed, but it might be better to start your day with reading your Bible, because then you're walking the whole day with Jesus and not sleeping on Jesus. And then he said this line, I don't do a whole lot of evil while I'm sleeping. What a great line that is. Like, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's not a whole bunch there. It's like we were talking about with the dreams and stuff like that. And my point in this is for you, now maybe you're a person, you're very devoted, you're very committed to that, and I would say the same thing to you that I'd say to myself, and that is when I'm reading the Bible, I've noticed that over many, many years that the Lord has changed the approach that I take to it. Sometimes I'll read massive amounts. Sometimes I'll read really small amounts and look at each individual word. Sometimes I'll read a lot in the New Testament, a lot in the Old Testament. Sometimes I'll read the Bible through once, twice, three times from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It always changes, always different. It's always alive and vibrant and has a difference. And if you're in a place where you're reading your Bible and it's not alive, then you need to come before the Lord and say, hey, help my mind to hear it, my mind to receive what you're sharing, help my spirit to respond to it, help me to get what you're saying and let it apply to me and let me use it. And the reason that it's important for you to do it is because God provided it for you. In the community of our existence, humanity has eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, this book contains the ability to know what is good and what is evil, and what you should be digesting and what you shouldn't be digesting. And in it, it points us and draws us closer to the Lord, as Jesus testified in the Gospel of John, and gives us a better understanding of the voice of God. So for those of us who are trying to hear God as we're walking through our lives, if you know how he sounds with his written word, you'll know what he sounds like when he speaks to you. And you won't have to wonder, because you'll know what he's like. You know what he sounds like. And what I'm trying to do is promote it, push you in that direction, and say to you, you know, if you're a person, I spend 15 minutes, I read three chapters, I would push you to even meditate more on the word. Let it saturate in your system so that it can be, you know, the Bible says clearly that we should let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And everybody wants to be rich with a bank account, but they don't want to be rich in the word. I was like, well, that's what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to be rich in his truth, rich in his word. And you can't escape certain things. I mean, how is it that Jesus dealt with Satan in the temptations before his public ministry? He quoted. And Satan would say something, Jesus would say, well, yeah, but it says this. Yep, yeah, yep, yeah, but it says this. Yep, yeah, yep, yeah, but it says this. I mean, you got to read it to do that. You got to know it. And so my encouragement is for you to really just really commit to getting to know the Word of God better, so that you're a person who is fully equipped for everything that life throws at you, which I think most people will agree it throws a lot of stuff at us. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16, says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Being in connected to the Word of God and knowing what it has to say is profitable for you and me. And if I've failed you in the last 2 years of trying to encourage you to be more of an avid Bible participant, my bad. I apologize. But now I'm asking you now. Just get into it. I mean, if you don't have a Bible dictionary, there's a ton of them online for free. You can buy them for like $2. If you really need one, I'll get you one. I'm just saying, it's that kind of thing, to get to that level, really commit to it. No, you don't have to be a Bible scholar or a Bible teacher, but you have to be a Bible participator. You have to know what it says, be connected to what it says, and let the Word of Jesus Christ dwell in you richly. That's a really important point. You get what I'm saying? I hope you hear me. You need to know. You don't need to know about the Bible. You need to know it. And it needs to be a part of you, because it will give you the instruction you need for righteous living. Okay. All right, so I got to answer the trivia question. And just as I'm getting ready to do that, Joy and Cordelia shoot off a quick response, and they are correct. Ah, that's amazing. Not that they're correct, but they gave a guess. How many loaves of bread did Jesus use in feeding the 4,000? Seven. Seven. Matthew 15, 36 to 38, seven. And people will say, well, why did he use seven there? And then he used five there, and then two here. And what? I don't know. Ask him. When you get to heaven, ask him. Or study it. Wait, this is an idea. Study it. Read a commentary on it. Somebody's probably got an idea about it. I just don't know off the top of my head. But there were seven. I know that. All right. All right. Be a Bible participator. Please. Please. All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.